Hey, everybody, it's Jeff. Before we start today, I wanted to make sure that you knew about a couple of things. First, if you haven't checked out Church Gear yet, you need to go to churchgear.com today. These guys are incredible. If you have used equipment at your facility, Church Gear will help you turn it into cold hard cash. Greenbacks, clams, simoleons, legal tender, however you want to think about it, churchgear.com can turn your used equipment into money. And you can use that money to go back to their site and buy some of their used equipment. They have an incredible inventory of certified, pre-owned, gently used church production equipment that you're going to want to check out. So go to churchgear.com, and if you use the code MXUGEAR at checkout, you can even get special pricing. Second, the MXU video library is growing every day, and we want you to check out our new series of videos on the Allen & Heath Avantis console. It was our most requested video series, and we cannot wait to bring it to you. Also, if you have a new volunteer who is new to ProPresenter, our resident video expert, Rusty Anderson, has created a great series of videos on ProPresenter. So whether it's audio training or video training that you need, we know that these new batches of videos are going to suit your needs perfectly. So go to getmxu.com and sign up today. We have various levels of pricing for membership, so we know that we have something that will fit you and your team to a T. All right, let's get to the episode.
You are now entering the MXU podcast. No credentials required.
Well, what is going on, everybody? You're here live with Lee and I. And we don't know where Jeff is. Did we tell Jeff we were doing a podcast, or was he busy?
I don't know. I think we're supposed to say, what's he usually say? Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 112 of the MXU podcast. I'm here, as always, with my co-laborer in the fields of Christ to build his kingdom, Pastor Reverend Lee Fields, and
Bishop Dadu Worldwide.
Bishop. Bible carrying. You need a Bible carrier. That's what I was trying to pivot to.
I have a Bible carrier. I have my iPad right here on my chest rig.
Yeah, what are those?
What do you mean? This is my chest rig.
Your chest rig?
Yeah.
Well, this is an audio podcast, so we'll need to clarify that.
Okay, well, it's like a sports bra for working people. Can I say that? Well, Jeff's not on here. I can say whatever I want.
You can say whatever you want.
I got my radio, got a flashlight, got a knife, got some Sharpies, got a pen. Got some Band-Aids, some medicine. It goes over my shoulder, and I got an iPad in here. So when every day, I got my drawings if I need them.
Okay, so this episode, we kind of have two interviews. We have an interview here in a minute. Jeff and I were in Las Vegas this week for NAB, which we can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, y'all had fun.
We did, but we interviewed Phil Wagner, who is a senior vice president of SSL, Solid State Logic. So that's a great interview.
Yeah, did you ask him to simplify that thing?
I can't
get around that desk, man. I need
you can't. I think that one's pretty good. As soon as you figure out the, you know, it's something clicks and you're like, oh, I understand the workflow.
Yeah,
yeah. It's easier to me than some others. It's easier than the wing. but you're on tour right now. What are you doing? You're on a bus.
Yeah, I'm actually in the back lounge. I snuck away. Hopefully my radio doesn't go off and I need to go. But I'm out on the Elevation tour with our good friends at Elevation and our dear friends. Man, I've got Eddie out here from Concept Pixels. Webster's the SE, which has been a lot of fun.
He's been on the podcast.
Yep. And Corey is the production manager, production designer, and front of house engineer. My man is wearing a lot of hats. And let me tell you, he does it well. I've been making fun of him a lot, but I have been very impressed.
Well, that's cool.
He has a really great relationship with the church.
Yeah, he does.
I've got a lot of titles. I make coffee a lot for people. I'm the stage manager. I'm basically the dock master. I load in the rig, load out the rig.
Yeah, so because Corey's doing so much, you're kind of running the load in. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. He does come in for chalk in the morning.
He does.
Yes, he does. He is very active on that. And I think that's just him and I building a rapport. I think he won't after he gets comfortable. But we've worked really well together. We haven't had any moments. And yeah, it's been great. So in the morning, I walk through my day. Is that all right with you?
Yeah, I'd love to hear. Like, I think this would be cool. So we'll kind of interview you. So go from alarm clock goes off and then just walk us through the whole day.
Oh, man. Well, the alarm clock goes off about 12 minutes before I need to be inside.
Which is what? So what time is that?
Seven some days, eight some days. So just say 15 okay. till, right? So 6:45, I wake up and get it together, put on some shorts because I sleep in my undies, put on some mm-hmm. shorts and t-shirt, walk in the venue, and we chalk the floor. We have an incredible head rigger from Four Wall named Ryan.
Okay, so tell people what chalking the floor, and you're in an arena.
These are all arenas. So chalking the floor is marking the floor where the rigging points would go. So the riggers, up and down riggers, know exactly where our points need to be. Now, drawings have been sent ahead of time and all that, so it's pretty straightforward. We're all working off the same drawings, but it's this way there is no mistake that someone has marked an X and a circle on the floor that allows everyone to know that a motor point goes here. It's really great. And it kind of gives your footprint, it gives you a visual of where the stage will end up. All these points are generally on top of the stage for the most part. Some yeah. are obviously the PA left and right. Some days our stage is in place, and some days it's built out in the house and we roll it into place. Those are easier days. Today was not one of those. We're in Indy today.
What would change it if you can have the stage? The stage would go like where front of house is, and it yeah. gets built up and then rolls under. What changes that?
Well, then all your truss and everything can go in flat and doesn't have to get forked up onto the stage or any of that. We have these fingers, they call them, at angles. And then like the PA can be built on the ground and taken straight up. And there's just no yeah. obstacles in your way, you know. And yep. people can build the deck, stuff on the deck. Like 2 days ago, we had a rolling stage, and we built the band risers and half the band gear over there and didn't have to worry about being in people's ways.
So you guys are not traveling with a stage. Mm-mm. So depending on if the arena has stage on wheels, we'll change that.
Yep. They all, yeah. So the reason it's flex every day is because we're using, the only risers we carry is the band riser. We have these clear acrylic risers. So that happens, and then as they're prepping for that, I generally go change. I rarely take a shower in the morning, even though I'd love to, because it's really just fire drill and
yeah.
wash my face, brush my teeth, get all that going, swing by breakfast, get a little protein, get some coffee. And then we have 6 trucks on this tour. So then I go to the dock, and I begin the process of establishing a relationship with the steward of all the labor. We use local labor. And generally, since I've done the circles several times, I know someone or have some familiarity.
Yeah.
And so you catch up if you know them, and then...
Because that's the most important person in the room for you.
Yes. For me, in that moment, that guy is giving me all the help I need, and he's on my side. If I've got someone acting out of line, local labor, he's going to either be on my side or their side, and I'd rather him be on my side.
Because this is the person, for those that don't know, they're controlling all of the hands. It can be union, it can be a local crew, it could be a third-party company, depending on the city and the rules they've got set up with the arena. But at the end of the night, that person then sends you a bill. So it's all been estimated before and planned out. But if you don't do what you say you're going to do, and if you're not as organized as you said you were going to be, a lot of times they can stick you with a lot of extra fees. And that stuff's expensive. You're talking like hundreds of dollars per hour per person. And they have all these rules. It's like, okay, now this is 1.5 times this rate because it's this many hours. Or, oh, you want to stream to the internet tonight? The whole crew now gets paid double because that's like doing 2 shows. Like, right. There's crazy rules like that.
And it's wild. It really is wild how it gets. I'm sorry. I'm responding to a...
Yeah, you're working. Go ahead.
Quick text. Actually, it's a intro. Jeff, neat. Sorry. Someone just said I'm in D.C. and they forgot to source an in-ear rig help. I said Jeff needs ears. Go ahead for Jay.
Hey, the runner is back with your preparation agent in the tour office.
Thank you.
Was that Corey?
Yeah, next time text me that. Don't say that on radio. I sent a runner to get something, and he just announced what that was over the radio. He said, your runner's back with Preparation H.
That's embarrassing. You want us to edit that out?
No, no, it's fine. It's good. Everyone needs to know we're out here, you know, we all get chafed.
Everybody's got the gold bond. You don't leave home without that.
Never,
but, you know,
never.
When the old hemorrhoids kick in, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, the labor thing gets tricky because, like, today, perfect example is the ceiling of the venue on the front end where I need all the rigging ports is 140 feet. So I'm adding 50 feet of chain on top of the 100 feet that's already there, which is a long line. You know, you think about these super tall arenas, and the back is 126 feet. We still add 50 and then take it up. So that just took a while today. And your labor calls generally 4 or 5 hours. After that, you got to feed them. There's these union breaks. There's all these rules. So yeah. I've got to keep labor costs to a minimum. So I'm pushing, you know, but our rigging took a while today.
You don't. Don't tell us what y'all's numbers are. Like, that's confidential stuff. But I've been, you know, you visit friends in an arena, a show comes to town, big pop star. I went to see one show at Golden One Arena here in Sacramento. It was 14 trucks, which is a really big show for an arena.
Yeah.
And his bill that night was $80,000 just for hands.
Cities, it depends on city. The further northeast you get, the more unionized you get. And then, like, I mean, some of these unions just have fluff positions, you know? There's a guy there, a safety guy there, or a captain of this there, and he...
No, they'll do, like, in New York, in some venues, they have a house, front of house engineer, a house lighting designer for every show. It doesn't matter if it's Billy Joel or the Rolling Stones. There's a house, front of house engineer. Now, he may not be mixing the show, but since the band brought an engineer, you just took a job from him, so you still have to pay him anyway.
Yeah,
and it's probably like $2,000 a day for the union guy to mix front of house to just stand there. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. House audio, house lighting, house video guy. You plug in one SDI to go to the TVs around the place, and he's there all day with union breaks. So forklift ops, man. I always have two forklifts up on these calls so we can double stack, work smarter, not harder. And, you know, there are some really great guys. Like, I'm 2 days ago in Grand Rapids, guy came up to me and goes, "I remember you." And I said, "Okay." And I said, "Man, do you like me or not?" He said, "Oh, yeah, man, you were awesome." He said, "I remember you from Creation Festival like 7 years ago."
Whoa.
Right? He was a monitor tech. And he said, "I was super nice," which didn't sound like me. But he remembered Crowder's set. And it was a night that Redmond, Crowder, Christy Nathan, Stanfill, and Tomlin all did a collaborative moment with Louie. And so he remembered that being pretty cool. But that was cool.
That is cool. Okay, so that got us into like 30 minutes of your day so far. So it gets chalked and then the rigging starts.
The rigging starts. While the rigging is starting, I'm dumping trucks. So we rigging truck first, obviously. And then we do lighting truck because it has all the truss. And then we'll do video truck. Then we'll do audio truck. And then we'll do... the catch-all truck and then the backline truck, the backline truck is really like two catch-all trucks that have control. I put control packages and all that stuff. So like you would load in backwards order and distribute hands that way where they need to go. Everyone's dumping trucks. And then I assign X number of people to lighting, X number of people to audio, X number of people to video. And then I keep 6 utility hands with me. They help backline. They help build the deck. We help the laser tech. And just odd things. We got some special effects out here. Sometimes I need them to drape some seats, put down cable ramps. You know, you just name it. It kind of gets all kinds of crazy. That generally gets us into lunch, post-lunch, right around there. And then today was a little longer.
PA's probably up in the air right at lunchtime.
PA, we're making noise at lunch.
Yeah,
and Webster's a beast. He's done a lot of his homework, so his time, he doesn't take long. And he's been in all these rooms.
Yeah.
And then try to rotate through lunch. Honestly, the lighting crew has been eating lunch on the fly, so we've been bringing lunch to them because they've got a lot going on. And then...
Benji's out there.
Yeah, man. Our friend Benji's out here, too.
My hunting buddy.
Yeah, he's been awesome.
He's behind the lighting console?
Yeah, I think Alec did most of the... Our friend Alec and did all the most of the programming and stuff, and then Benji's opping. It's been super cool because this crew is really good, and they're not arguing. Now, granted, the tour is only 2.5 weeks or 2 weeks, so, but yeah. Everyone's done. Corey has done a really good job of not. A lot of times, the CCM tours, the Christian tours, just cut budgets. When it needs to be 6 trucks, they do 4 trucks, and
yeah.
Everyone's mornings and evenings are just hell because you're packed to the ceiling.
Right.
And he's done a really good job of planning the rig around packs. So that's, and he's staffed it really well. There's some really great guys out here. There's a guy named Morgan who's kind of the video LED guy, and he's a rock star. Cool. So it's been good. So then we let audio kind of do their checks. You know, people like to get out of the room for that if they can. Lighting or checking, videos checking signal. And I'm generally making coffee at that point. My road case has been brought in. It's really called a stress test, because for those of you that came out to the MXU tour, you were in California, my road case popped a breaker in the middle of the show, and because I was making coffee. So wherever I plug in, I generally do a stress test. And then we do line checks. You know, we were doing sound checks on the front end of the tour where everyone was getting sound checks. But as days go on, we do line checks. Or if they adjust programming, the band may want to check a song. So we leave some room for that. And that's generally into the middle of the afternoon. And then we'll check special effects, streamers, confettis, lasers. And then everyone needs to walk away for a minute. You got to get out the room. And it's best to get out the building. Today we're underneath. All our buses are parked underground. So it's not much getting out. But you just got to walk away for a second. And that's the most helpful part of the day. Because then you come back fresh for showtime.
Do you guys have an opener?
Elevation Rhythm is out. So in-house, but it's their first thing opening. Yeah. So part of my job on this has been schooling them. And helping them establish, because, and Corey and I had a great conversation, what they learn here, even though it's in-house and with their people, when they go other places, it will reflect what they learned at home. I told them it's like the manners that your parents teach you at the dinner table. So when you go to some friend's house or you're hosting your own dinner parties when you're an adult, you don't come across as a moron or rude, you know? And so they've been really receptive and really great. They've been learning. So yeah. I've appreciated that. They've been super kind. But and then
you letting them sound check?
Yeah. Corey's mixing them.
Oh, okay.
So it's been good for them. The drummer is awesome, and David, who kind of sings and leads, has been really rock too. I like what they got going on. And then I hand it over, so everyone gets to walk away. Hopefully you get to go to dinner. And then I do a show call right before the show, where I check with all departments, make sure they're in their seats, ready to go. And then I hand it over officially to Jared from Elevation. Who's
Jared Olson.
Yeah, who's the producer. And then at the end of the show, he hands it back to me.
Nice. That's pretty nice.
I do that in reverse. I do have a few changes during the show. Just now that we have an opener, and there's a moment where some props and podiums and stuff come out for Pastor Steven. That we use some local label for. But outside of that, it's Jared's show, and I take my cues from him in those moments since he's in the seat. And then as soon as the show's over, it's back to me.
How long's your out? So it only been out there, like, is this show 3?
Yep. We were at 3 hours and 2.5 hours and 2:15 will be my goal tonight.
Which is pretty normal.
Which is pretty normal. The first show, it all depends on backstage space. We had 0 on the first show and only 2 docks. On this one, I have 3 docks and a ton of backstage space. And the labor's been pretty good. So that feels like you're conducting more than anything on load-in. It feels like I just need to make sure all departments are working together and all the hands are doing their thing. And I generally like to pack the trucks. At least be around so I can make sure they're packed and weight balance, it goes in order.
It blows my mind to see some truck drivers get in the back of the truck and they pack it themselves, because, you know, they're pulling it, and where that weight distribution is really matters when you're doing 80 miles an hour down the freeway. You know, some drivers don't care. They just trust the stage manager, production manager to do it right. But a lot of those guys get back there themselves.
We've only repacked 1 truck. It's Corey's homework. Was great. And then all the leads did really well. Webster killed his audio pack. The Concept Pixel guys were able to loft their truss and give us a little more space to help with weight. The rigging truck, we just flipped, basically. and it worked out weight-wise, but we were a little over on the back axle. So all these little details you just got to remember, but I've enjoyed it.
That's cool, man. Yeah. And so today's show 4, you said?
Yeah.
So 4 to go after this, just 8 shows.
Yeah, so, nice. I've really been impressed with the Elevation team. I would brag, I don't really know Chris Brown. Actually, I'm like, don't really know him at all. And the way he talked to production on day one was really impressive. Almost tore us, have a team meeting. And he just conveyed what they were about and who they were. And he emphasized that they were church first and this is not what they do.
Yep.
He said that's, and he had handed over to Corey, and Corey had handed it back to him. He said how grateful he was, and what he saw our roles were is that this crew was helping them do church, so they needed our expertise to get this up and running, and then they got to do church, and we got teared out. It was a really great perspective because you go to some of these things where I've seen churches do these things where they're the experts, they know it all, blah, blah. But they, honestly, not one of them's ever rigged safely or legally. None of them have packed a truck. Right. You know, none of them have packed a truck.
Yeah.
They don't know what union hours are. And so Elevation's trust of Corey is awesome because they have incredible rapport with each other. I think that's a two-way street. Alex, who's tour manager, has been doing such a great job. And his and Corey's focus, they both told me on day one, was you make sure the crew's happy. Like, keep them happy. We want people to feel like they're valued and happy. You just don't hear a lot of that.
No.
And they've done a good, even on our off days, they take care of us really well. And
nice.
People need to get food. And it is maybe I'm in the honeymoon period. I don't know, first couple of days, because I haven't really done much with Elevation. But I think Corey set an incredible tone and has been the bridge between the church and the real world.
Yeah,
and I think that the church's heart has really translated that, and I think the crew overall is having a better experience.
That's great. I couldn't agree more. I do know Chris Brown, and he's a great guy. I've known him almost 10 years, probably. I've never gotten any rock star church worship leader from him at all. Zero. It's not even in the ballpark. He's just a normal dude in the green room with everybody else, talks to everyone. He's just a freaking real guy. He's really, really good dude. And you're right. He really trusts Corey. I have seen him say to Corey, I trust you. I've read those text messages. No, do what you want. I trust you. Like, it's legit. They're awesome.
Yeah, I liked watching the ebb and flow between production and worship there. It was good. They both were trying to support each other. And it was good. So anyways, I'm having a great time. I think I'm doing a good job.
you texted me that yesterday. I'm like, well, good.
Yeah, I think I'm doing a good job. I think they're having. It's hard to tell, you know. It's a new camp for me.
Yeah.
And but I've been really enjoyed it. Enjoyed the people. I have no qualms. I would 100% do it again if it worked out. You know.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome. Well, we were in Vegas when you kicked off your tour.
Yeah, I was so jealous. Okay, you posted a ridiculous photo in the elevator.
Oh, of my outfit?
Of you, yeah. Shoes.
Fit check.
Yeah, fit shoes, pointy shoes, pointy cowboy shoes, tight jeans, belt buckle. Yeah. I can't wear belt buckles. They disappear. I don't know where they go.
I was on the edge, but, you know, the MXU 75 helped out a little bit. Helped show my belt buckle.
Yeah, I saw 3/4 of it. You're good.
There was probably, 20, 30 people that were in on the, hey, we're going to dress a little Western for the party. So that was super fun. It was really an excuse to wear my cowboy boots. I just talked everybody into
it. Did you get a new cowboy hat?
I did get a new cowboy hat. I did.
Where's
for the
from?
Party.
Where's it from?
It's a Stetson from
those great hats.
Kemosabe.
Yeah.
Yeah, great store.
Yep, that's awesome. Ooh, tell me where you ate. Oh gosh, I love food so much.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the party, and then I'm going to tell you the craziest another crazy dining experience. Okay. The party was unbelievable. There were over 300 people signed up and about another 50 that didn't sign up because they were just from the church or all of our crew. And this suite was 12,000 square feet.
I saw that.
It's insanity. And 300 people in there didn't feel overcrowded. It just felt like the right vibe for a party.
It felt like what Big Dadu needs to live in a robe.
Yeah. So this room, It doesn't have a room number. There's no name on the door. There's nothing because you can't reserve it. So I think I said this before, but Adam stalked the general manager of the hotel and got a meeting with him and said, hey, I work at a church. We do tech. And COVID has killed the churches for the last 2 years. This is the first trade show back. Can we please have this room for a night? And they charged us a preposterous amount of money. It's the most money I've ever seen be requested for a suite on the Strip. You know, usually like the nicest suites are like $5,000 a night. This was well more than double that. And Ross Worship, Jeremy Bagwell, Skylark, Marcus Walker, Summit, Tyson and Nick, and Amplio, Jeff Vandergeesen, all paid for it and all the food and all the drinks.
Dude, what a great people. I have loved watching these integrators pour into the community.
I think total that party cost about $35,000 is what we all spent. And so those guys all paid for that.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, that's incredible.
It was awesome. We all went to bed around 2:30 that night. The butlers, because the room came with butlers, they left at like midnight. They were just gone. That was fun. The night before, Sunday night, flew into town. Jeff, Spencer, Dylan went to dinner with some of the team from Ross. So Jeremy, Jared, Darcy, and Todd from Ross.
Yeah.
And I was trying to find a steakhouse in Vegas that wasn't too loud. And did you know on Yelp you can actually search by that now? Like it's a category.
There's a volume. You're such a Yelper.
Like, I know. It works.
Yeah, no. You've had good
luck. You can't just go by review, like the amount of stars though. Like that's
it's deceiving because there could be two reviews.
It's 100% deceiving. So I find this place called Carver Steak, and it's in our hotel. We stayed at Resorts World, and it was quiet, so it was perfect. So we sit down, and the server says, are you guys going to have any wine tonight? And we're like, well, of course, we're in Vegas. So I ask our Canadian friends from Ross and Jeremy, the redneck from Georgia, do you guys want wine? They were like a little indifferent about it. Like, yeah, sure. Didn't seem like
I think we could give Jeremy $2 chuck, and he'd be just fine.
100%. He sent me, different story, never mind. So the sommelier comes over, and I did the normal thing, the same thing we did at Bazaar Meats, and he says, what type of wine do you like? And I said, well, I like Chateau Muzard. And he said, oh, certainly. My wife attended his funeral because he trained my wife during her master sommelier test.
Oh, wow.
And I said, your wife is a master sommelier, which there are less than 30 women master sommeliers on the planet. And he said, yes, she is. And so am I.
You bowed. You curtsied.
I did. I closed the menu, pushed it in front of me. I shook his hand and asked him his name.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And Darcy from Ross said, this is basically like if Tom Brady was married to Tom Brady.
That's great.
So we let him order for us. He told us what food to get, got a couple bottles of wine. I mean, it was just fantastic. He was opening and nothing was on the menu that he brought. And he said, yeah, I'm allowed to buy 6 of these a year. I only open them for people that'll appreciate them. Here you go. And these weren't like $1,000 bottles of wine. They're like, it was like $80 for a really nice steakhouse in Vegas. That's like the cheapest stuff they have. It's just extremely hard to get. So it was super cool to be able to do that. So that's what we ate.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I think we should get to the interview. I think you're going to like this interview because Phil's got some great stories. You know, he was working for, I mean, it's one of the top probably 2 or 3 most prestigious audio brands in the history of time.
Gosh, what legendary history.
It is. And one of my other favorite meals I've ever been to was with Phil at Verse LA, Manny Marroquin's restaurant, which I've talked about on the podcast before. So we talk about that a little bit. So here we go.
Creating content for your church is a 7-day-a-week job. Whether you're broadcasting or streaming Sunday services, creating pieces for social media, or documenting community activities and outreach, there's a Canon camera that's right for you. With our robust lineup of cinema cameras and lenses, professional camcorders, pan-tilt zoom cameras, broadcast lenses, and more, Canon offers intuitive imaging solutions for churches of every size and scope. Standing behind each product we make is our Canon Professional Solutions team, offering product loans, repair and maintenance plans, and staff training to help you ensure that everyone from first-time volunteer to seasoned veterans are well-versed in operating the equipment. To learn more about Canon's products, support solutions, or low to no cost financing options, please visit usa.canon.com/worship.
We're thrilled today to be joined by Phil Wagner, Senior Vice President at SSL. And I have a bone to pick with you guys because one of your best restaurant experiences of late came through Phil, and I had to miss out on it.
Yep.
So Phil was the reason that you got hooked up with Manny Marroquin's restaurant in L.A.
Verse L.A.
And I was so jealous because obviously Manny, but touring the studio and having him sit there at dinner and tell stories, it's like,
about doing John Mayer records.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So anyway, I'm glad to meet you in person, even though I couldn't meet Manny in person.
We'll have to go back.
Yeah, I'm in. Let's do it.
Phil, how many times have you been there?
A couple times. I mean, Manny's a good pal, and he's always invited me, and I try to get there as often as I can.
Yeah. And you don't live that far away either,
No,
right?
I'm about 20 minutes away.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I live near a Chili's up in Sacramento.
Yeah, I don't live near any world-class studio engineers, but I live near a couple of church volunteer mixers, which is about the same.
That's great.
Well, it's a great story with the restaurant.
Well, his studio's next door. That's how that's how it started, right?
Yeah.
And then he wanted a restaurant. Well, he's a wine guy.
Yes, and he wanted to open this restaurant. He talked about it for years, and it took a while to put together. And I was always encouraging him to connect the restaurant to the studio because you can. And this was in the very early days of Dante. And I just said, just string a piece of fiber between the restaurant and the studio. You'll be able to do whatever you have going on in the restaurant, recording it into the studio. So that's what they've done.
That's funny.
And it's got SSL consoles in the restaurant because Manny mixes on SSL consoles in his studio.
Yeah.
I love it.
Like 7 rooms and 6 SSLs.
That's crazy.
And we were there late. I mean, we finished dinner at 10 or 11 o'clock. And he's like, okay, now grab another glass of wine and follow me. And we go into the studio, and every room is busy at 11 o'clock at night.
Wow.
Yeah, except his room. Like, his room is his room.
Yeah.
And he was bussing tables, answering calls from Cardi B or who it may, getting edits for mixes.
That's
while
so
he was
funny. I got mixed tweaks in between washing dishes.
Oh, it was Lizzo. It wasn't Cardi B. It was Lizzo.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But Larrabee Studios goes back with SSL to 1979. They were when you could count how many studio consoles were on a single piece of paper. Larrabee was on that single piece of paper.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's right, because he bought the studio from someone else.
From Kevin Mills, who owned it. And at one point, they had 3 different locations. And that studio was owned by, Donna Summer's producer, Georgia Moroder.
Right.
That studio originally. And then Kevin Mills bought it and developed it into 2 rooms and then 3 rooms. And Michael Jackson had worked there. Very interestingly, they had a 72-channel and an 80-channel G-series in the late 80s. And for, I think it was The Way You Make Me Feel by Michael Jackson, they had actually connected 2 of the rooms together and had a 150-channel mix with 4 Sony 3348 tape machines. So just to show how far the Michael Jackson sessions went.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy.
Wow.
So then through the 90s, they kept on upgrading to the latest 9000 series console. And right now there's 3 of the latest 9000K series consoles in Manny's room and 2 others. So he really loves them.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's very cool. Okay, so let's go back. You're saying numbers that start with the 70s. So how long have you been at SSL? How'd you get your start in the industry?
Thank you for the question. I've been on stage since I'm 11 years old. I got started in live sound. And started in the resort hotel in the Catskill Mountains in upstate New York, and it was a great thrill because next to Vegas, where we're at right now, the resort hotels in the Catskills were the next best thing. So at that time, the entertainment industry was based in Vegas. This was the center of it all. But if the resort hotels were the next day, you'd go to Vegas and you'd come there. So we had Shirley Bassey, Dionne Warwick, Bobby Vinton, Paul Anka, Herb Alpert, and Tijuana Brass, you name it. Everyone came through the Catskills. So it was a great—
there's no prettier place to be in the summertime.
It was than very, exactly.
Finger yeah. Lake, Catskill region of New York State.
Jeff, is this where you grew up?
I grew up in Western New York State, okay. But that's a place to go. Like okay. During the summertime, it's just, it's paradise. Compared to Vegas, especially.
Yeah. And the thing was that this was before air conditioning. That's why the Catskills were great in the summer, because people would go up there and stay up there all summer.
Got it.
As somewhat characterized in The Marvelous Miss Maisel recently on Netflix. But so it was a great start. And that's where I got introduced to Big Super Troopers. I did lighting when I was starting out. And old Altec Bakelite knob mixers. That's what you had. Four or five inputs, maybe eight.
Before faders, just big knobs.
Before faders, exactly. And then we had 604 speakers, a couple of those on stage. And it was orchestras and big artists. And then it started to develop into, so I was like, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. That's what I was doing. So I was always comfortable on stage.
Pretty good summer job.
It was pretty good summer job, exactly. and then I remember when the first consoles came in, and it was a Yamaha PM1000. And I just fell in love with it. I said, I love the red and yellow and blue knobs. So that was where I really got into consoles then. And by the time I was 16, 17, 18, a friend of mine started a 10,000-seat outdoor concert venue, and he had me doing local production. So that was my sort of entree into the major promoter scene. So it was really fateful that that was my start in the business. But I wanted to be in the recording studio side. So I went to the AES show in New York and fell in love with early SSL consoles and had posters of Harrison and Eve and SSL on my walls as a kid growing up, and I was destined to be a recording engineer. So I went to NYU, and they had a music business and technology program. And then we put a studio together at NYU. And then really the internship program got me into the studio. I worked at Soundworks in the basement of Studio 54, right in the heart of Midtown Manhattan. And as fate would have it, we put in one of the first SSL consoles, SL6000 stereo video system in 1983. So I go back with SSL all the way back to the beginning in the early 80s. And it was Power Station and Sigma and Unique. And these were, four major studios within a five block area of Manhattan. And it was a very, very exciting time. It was, then before you knew it, dozens of SSLs went into all over New York and everywhere else. I went a different path after the studio. In the studio, I was working with Steely Dan and Roger Nichols and Chaka Khan and Joe Cocker. It was a great period of time in the studio. And the Steely Dan stuff, the experience that I learned dealing with all the digital tape machines and PCM formats, that experience I carry with me to this day. It was an amazing time to be in the studio business, and it was an amazing group of people that I was working with. But because I had so much experience in the live sound side, where I think I told you a story, Lee, where by 8 o'clock, everything has to happen.
Yeah.
Curtain up,
right.
That's it. You're done.
The show's happening whether we're ready or not.
Whether ready or not. In the studio, on the other hand, nothing has to happen by 8 o'clock.
And sometimes doesn't.
On Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Well, especially back then, because record labels actually had big budgets to make records.
Exactly.
And so you were spending, days getting drum sounds because you could.
Well, and the creative process happens when it happens. You can't force 8 o'clock on an artist. So once you've got that down and you're performing live, you know what you're supposed to be performing. You do it. But that was frustrating for me. Plus the fact that when we did a major promoter show and I would, return the towels and get the, $75 deposit that night plus my salary versus $75 a week as a, as a tape op assistant coming up as an engineer. It's a little bit different economically as well.
Yep.
Then I met the folks from Soundcraft, and I started with Soundcraft. I started their New York office when I was 21 in the 80s, and that led to 4 years with Neve and then a couple years with Trident. And then SSL, when I moved to LA, started with SSL in 92. And that was a 17-year run, which was great, where we, dealing with post-production and broadcast and not live, but tons of studios. And that pedigree of, dealing with every professional studio, and that's what defined a professional studio, was an SSL console, and every top engineer and producer was really fun.
I have a question about that era. I've been thinking a lot about this as it relates to TV. Last night, I was sitting on my couch prepping a show file, and they played a rerun of SNL.
Yeah.
And it was a late 90s episode, and Aerosmith was on, and it sounded amazing. I was just like, just taken back by my Sonos soundbar and how great it sounded. But as you're telling this story, then I start thinking, there's a ton of SSL consoles in late night studios in New York, like most right. of them, in fact.
Right.
Was that the era where that really started?
Well, we had, I was hanging out with the SNL guys in the 80s. A friend of mine I went to college with, he did all the post. And then they set up a music room about 85 that they put in an E-series console and then a G-series console, which is an 80-channel console. And they went to a 96 input console, and they had the house band on the left side and the guest band on the right side of the console. They'd push a button and just change over. But then we had the late show when it started up, when Letterman went over there. We had Letterman, so we were in all the variety shows. It's changed a little bit since everything went digital, but we have a 96 channel C200 in the late show.
Yeah,
Stephen Colbert, and that's been in there for about 13 years now.
I've been in there. That console's amazing. Big.
Yeah,
that's exactly. A big desk.
Amazing.
In there.
And Harvey Goldberg does an incredible job.
Great guy too. Yeah.
Yep.
That is so cool.
The shows sound so good because they put a lot of time and energy into the music side. They have a dedicated music room, dedicated production room, dedicated sound effects console.
Yeah.
And it's a big deal.
It is. Okay, so then you left SSL for a little bit and then came back.
Left SSL in the about 2009 went to start Folkstrat US. My friend from Soundcraft, Phil Dutteridge, wanted me to do that. And they were introducing RedNet with Dante, and that was a lot of fun. So I did that for 7 or 8 years. And then in 2019, came back to SSL. So that's going on 2.5 years now.
That's awesome. Wow.
Yeah, we've been growing incredibly well with all the smaller dealer products, and the live console has been very exciting as well. So that takes me all the way back around to my beginnings.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So for most of our listeners who are in live production, you know, they've heard us talk about and have maybe even seen an SSL, you know, whether it's an L500 or one of the other live consoles.
Andrew Stone,
one of our co-founders, was a huge proponent of the L500, and you know, his mixes were stunning. Part of what was always so impressive to me was how, you know, the sound of those studio desks was able to be transferred into live sound, whether it be through plugins or through the Surface. And I think the thing that people may not know and the thing that people crave about that SSL sound is, yes, the two bus and the compressor, but it was the first studio console that had compression and gating in line per channel.
Really?
It used to be that you had to get all that outboard through an insert, but SSL was the first one that had it channel for channel in line. And so people don't realize what a fundamental shift that desk made. And that's why it was the industry standard. You were a pro studio, you were a pro mixer if you had an SSL. And that, it's interesting how that sort of mystique and that cachet has made its way into live sound too.
Well, it's all about what's your favorite acts, I think.
Yeah.
I agree. And for many people who came up through the 80s and 90s, they really love and appreciate the ergonomics of what an SSL is. And some of my great friends, Manny, Chris Ordalgi, you know, Tom's brother, so many engineers who just rely on that sort of je ne sais quoi essence of what an SSL is sonically, what it is ergonomically, how it looks and feels, and what does it sound like when you put the faders up, particularly in the 4000, 9000, where you can look over and see the dynamics, how the gate is working, the compressor's working, the inline dynamics. You can look at one side of the console and know what you're hearing, and then you get to that after you move what you're doing. So there's something that the console speaks to you.
Yeah,
not only sonically, but visually, and it feels great. So there's a level of refinement in SSL that we got right from the start. There are consoles that we put in the mid-80s that are still in place today because they're built that well. And with the live console, you know, we have that pedigree of excellence of audio. And we build that into the sound of the console. The digital bus is great. The converters are super analog, like the 9000. And it feels good and it sounds great. And again, everyone's got their acts. But for those who work on the SSL and keep coming back to it, and they say, you know, quite consistently that when they put up the faders, they get a certain sound quality that they love over anything else they can work on. They dial in EQs. It does what they want it to. The automation, we pioneered reliable automation in a studio console where that's what you built your, you know, your whole record on is how do I automate this? So I'm not surprised when we get feedback from live users that they love the way the automation, the precision of it.
Yeah. I've been to the factory too. And it feels like you're in like an audio hall of fame world museum. Like it doesn't feel like, and some of it is that, I'm going to, but what's the redneck way to say je ne sais? What is the, what do you say? You say that?
I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. That's it.
Yeah. It's the essence. It's really yeah, the essence yes. of what it is that
for you can't, those, for can't those quite put your finger on it, but it's yeah. the thing that right. is that. Yeah.
Well, that was my experience with the live console. And, you know, when did it come out? 2016
at this point.
Okay. So yeah. So when it came out, the rest of the market, every digital console was pretty bland, I guess. Is that okay to say? I mean, it's like what you put
pretty
in.
Neutral.
It was very neutral. But this, I might have had this a little bit too, but for some reason their consoles just didn't work. But
detail.
Yeah, small detail. It was like that. It's like, oh my gosh, there's stuff up really high now and really low and there's good distortion. And like it had this thing
yeah.
and nobody knew how to describe it.
Yeah.
But they just said, it's just this thing. You yeah. like, you have to hear it.
Because, and I think, you know, to be fair, if you went to Yamaha at the time,
no, yeah.
Their engineers in Japan would say, I put every channel and every output and every bus on a scope and it's yeah. all perfect.
Yeah.
It's very linear. It's measuring accurate.
Yeah.
And I think that there's something to be said for that.
Sure.
But there was a kind of a linearity to it and a sort of a binary quality to my ear.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas SSL was
art,
I would just say it was a little more musical.
Yeah.
You know, like you were saying about when you push into it a little bit, when you saturate those preamps, when you dig into that compressor, there was just a depth to it that some of the other manufacturers didn't quite have. Well, the same
true 64-bit processing as well. So there's a lot of great science in there. The real-time operating system, the patented engine, it's pretty phenomenal. But they're all exceptional. All the live consoles are very advanced these days. And I think it's what does every company bring to the party.
Yeah.
You might be familiar with brand X or Y. People who love the SSL really love it.
Now you guys have forayed into rack gear. And in the last couple of years, that feels like it's exploded. And I'm actually super excited about it because, you know, outboard gear is now popular again.
Yep.
You know, it used to be only that a few people were using it. You know, Muse had it and Chris Raybould had it and like these higher end A-list engineers. But now, like Adam here at Central is using a Fusion.
Fusion's hot.
Fusion is hot.
I mean, we just shipped a half dozen to a major touring company and it really is we're happy to see that the take-up has been so strong in live because that's a pretty sophisticated toolbox for your 2-mix.
And it's people that don't know, really tell good. Them what the Fusion is.
It's six different processors that there's like a high-frequency compressor in there. There's ultraviolet EQ. I forget off the top of my head the other four, but it's a very powerful set of...
There's some saturation, some harmonic exactly. distortion, some... But you basically throw this thing on your 2-bus. That's what most guys are using. You could do whatever you want with it.
Transformer in there.
Yeah. You put it on your left, right, and it's like it can turn your neutral console into, oh, we just put a little some good dirt on the whole thing.
A little extra spices.
Yeah. Yeah. And then this week, you guys just came out with a new one. You and I were on the phone the other day, and you're like, yeah, we just launched a product today. And I'm like, well, what console is it? And it's not. It's another box.
The Bus Plus. And we're very proud of it because one element of every single SSL console that's ever been made is the 2-channel bus compressor.
This right.
is something that we started, that we maintain, and it's really the glue. So I've called this one super glue because it's a ultra-wide bandwidth device that in essence, is a two-channel bus compressor, but it also has four different modes of operation. It's taken the standard bus compressor into directions that, quite honestly, I never thought would be possible. So there's, for example, a 4K mode on there, and you go into the 4K mode, and then you can adjust the level of that thing that the 4K does with the glue. The level of saturation is adjustable.
Yeah.
So that just, like, you go, whoa.
So does it operate in parallel at that point, or is
parallel
it?
Parallel compression in there. You can also, you know, put the dynamic EQ, the digital EQ into the side chain and tune that as well with the meter. It's really deep box and it's got a ton of
it's
features.
Super cool. Yeah.
Okay, so when do we get to hear that?
I know. I called him about getting a Fusion, and then he's like, and we also have this. And I'm like, well, maybe I want that. Yeah. I don't know.
We shipped them all to dealers. We got a pile in. We shipped them all out. We're getting another pile in a couple weeks. So.
Okay, so that's what's new here at NAB this year.
Well, we're not even showing. The NAB show shipped, and then all the Bus Pluses came in.
Okay, so that's even beyond what we're doing at NAB.
This is a few days ago it came out.
Literally.
Wow.
And you mentioned all the other gear. You know, we have these beautiful controllers, the UF8 and UC1, which are a great hybrid workflow for people who work in the box.
Yep.
Mixing, mostly, you know, for recording and mixing, and the Outboard 500 rack. But I think for live, we're very happy that people take our studio tools and stick it in their live rack. And the single stereo compressor that had been out for 20 or more years, that's found its way into live racks for very many years as well.
That's great.
And that Bus Plus, I looked at the price of it, but what's the retail on that? It's not much.
$28.99.
Yeah.
Oh, man. We're going to definitely have one at MXU HQ.
For sure we should.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So obviously we're here at NAB. This is the first trade show that anybody's been able to attend in a couple of years. So what are you guys able to show here? Is there anything new that's other than the Bus Plus that people need to not miss while they're here?
Well, what we've been doing over the last couple of years is expanding the software. When you have digital consoles, you just upgrade them. So we have the System T, which finds itself in broadcast environments mostly. We're expanding that into certain higher-end customers use that for live sound mixing as well. It's completely Dante-based, and we're also doing Atmos mixing with it. So there's a couple of places here, SSL studios that have taken the System T for Atmos mixing because it's a 7.1.4 console from stem to stern. So we're showing off those capabilities. And then in a live console, it's the first time we're showing the L650, which is the most powerful live console that we've done to date. It's got more channels, more DSP, more
effects. That's great.
Effects. That's what we saw Chris Raybould mixing Bruno a few weeks ago here.
Yeah.
And Bieber's out with it as well. So that's just getting started. And then there's a V3 upgrade as well that incorporates Axient direct control, Shure Axient. So we've been really upgrading the platform.
That's great.
Both live and System T.
That's great. Well, Phil, thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for taking a few minutes out of your busy schedule here to come chat with us. I know everybody's really excited about what you guys are doing, and it's great to meet you and great to talk.
Appreciate it. And likewise, we really appreciate what MXU are offering the business and the industry, and how you guys are big on education because there's a resource that's necessary that you're filling a void, and we really like to participate with you in that way.
Well, you guys have been with us since day one, the very first show. You guys had a desk at our event, so I think we owe you the thanks. But
you're very welcome.
Let's hang out again at Verse LA and then in Woodstock in the UK.
Love that. Yeah,
let's do it because Jeff hasn't been there.
I need to go to London to visit our manufacturer friends there. We talked about this before. We could just make a trip out of it and let Jay take us on a tour of London.
Totally. Well, Jay, wasn't that a great interview that you actually haven't heard yet? Because that would be like Inception.
Yep. I'm going to, in all my free time here, I'm going to try and listen to it.
You have probably zero free time.
Honestly, I have not watched a Chicago PD, Med, or Fire in a week. Good Sam, which is Sophia Bush's new show. I'm so behind.
I watched one of the Chicago episodes last night. I don't know which one it was.
Well, fire department, hospital, or police department?
There's hospital and some police.
Maybe it was Chicago 1 where they all came together.
I don't think it was that.
Okay, well,
it was... It was about a teenager suffering with alcoholism when she was drunk, but she kept saying she wasn't drunk, but her parents were in there.
That's med. It was med.
You've seen that episode?
Yep.
It's med. Okay. It was pretty good. Yeah, pretty good episode.
Hey, what habits have you kept from 75?
The water.
Right. That. Me too. It's easy on tour, I think, to drink tons of water.
I haven't had breakfast still. I have not had fast food. I've kept up the water. I got a little sick, so the box breathing was hard when you're sick and coughing.
Yep.
But I like doing it, so I want to get back to it. And I've been in the gym 3 days a week. I did not go when we were in Vegas. Took a gym break because Vegas. But yeah, so far that.
Let's go. The water's been good here. Tour water is easy because I'm constantly thirsty. I haven't been working out, but I'm working all day. I'm doing steps on steps. I don't even know. Yep. I don't even carry a stepper thing, but I know I'm walking a ton. And it's so weird. I feel guilty drinking coffee after two.
Oh, I have stopped that too. No,
I have not. I mean, I have been drinking some coffee, but like when 5 o'clock rolls around, I won't have coffee after that.
But aren't you up till 2 or 3?
Yeah, but I think I need to create the habit and just push through that, you know?
I mean, if you want to look at it real practically, I think it's 8 hours before you need to go to sleep.
Right.
So if you're drinking it at 5, I wouldn't feel so bad. But
I've been trying not to have it at 5. All to say, met a gentleman the other day that was an MXU 75er, came to a show, and his wife said, "Thanks for the MXU 75 because my husband's never felt better."
Wow.
And then she probably looked at me and was like, "Well, clearly you didn't do it." But no, it was sweet.
That's really sweet. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, let's do this again next week. Santrum will be back.
I love it. We got to get Grace on here.
Okay.
We need some Grace. I've been playing phone tag with her. So let's work that out.
Sounds good, man. All right. Well, have a good rest of the tour.
Talk to you soon.